On the September 27th edition of WINA's Best Seat in the House, Jed Williams talked with ESPN.com's Bruce Feldman about the message board culture.
And joining us live on the Casellas Hotline, national writer for ESPN.com and ESPN the magazine. He's done a lot of work on this and on the fan culture in college football, and hopefully can put this phenomenon in perspective. Bruce Feldman, back on the Best Seat in the House. Bruce, great to talk to you. Where do your college football travels take you this weekend?
I think they're going to just keep me out in California this week. And then next week I have to go back down south for a little bit. So.
You know, since the SEC, I guess, is the place to be, you'll probably make a few more trips down there, right?
Yeah, I think so. Which are long trips from out in Los Angeles, but
indeed,
that's where the big games are.
Bruce, are the message boards as big everywhere? I mean, are they as big in SEC country as they are on the West Coast, as they are in the Big Ten, or does it vary based on the fan culture as to how big the internet culture is going to be?
I think it's big wherever college football is big. I mean, I think a big portion of the people are college students who obviously, you know, are web savvy and are all over the web, but I think you get a lot of boosters who are, you know, people who are talk radio people looking for a voice, and I think it's a chance for people to be heard, and then, you know, it's a chance for those voices to be, you know, kind of captured and you know, give people a chance to really sound off. I think a lot of times people are more comfortable sitting behind a keyboard than they are even, you know, calling into a talk show. And
yeah,
with the blog culture the way it is, I think it's a lot more people can get their message or their voice out there than ever before, because, you know, things just kind of have a way of spreading by forwarding the way they are these days.
The oldest of the fan sites are typically somewhere between, let's say, 10 and 12 or 13 years old. The chief Virginia fan site, for instance, Bruce, the Sabre.com, has been around since September of 1996. So right about now, it's celebrating a 10-year anniversary. Going back in the time capsule, did you have a hunch as the internet began to explode that message boards like this could summarily explode as well with the whole growth of cyberspace?
You know, it's funny. I was actually the first hire that what became ESPN.com had, and I remember we started doing chats, which were these, you know, I don't even know how to, there were similar chat forms where there were open rooms, and we had, I remember our Saturday night college football crew would do these, and they would just be such a, it was like the Wild Wild West, where anything could come across, and they weren't moderated, and it was just a lot different technology. And I'm not one of those people who's a technology guy and knows what's going on the cutting edge of different things, so I really didn't have a great handle on it. We had a couple of editors who were pretty sharp and would just kind of keep an eye on these kinds of things, and I think maybe they were, you know, a lot more educated or had a better handle on where things were going than a lot of the people above them did, because they were talking about these kinds of message boards and kind of almost like it was an open tailgate party online for a long time, and they were, I got to admit, looking back, they were pretty sharp on what they were seeing.
Yeah, absolutely, cutting edge. Bruce Feldman with us from ESPN.com. Bruce, can this culture, can these fan sites continue to grow and get even bigger and bigger and bigger, or do you expect this to plateau at some point?
No, I think it's only going to get bigger because people are, you know, you're talking about now, this is how kids communicate. When I say kids, I mean people who are 9, 10, 12 years old. They don't, you know, everyone is a lot more comfortable in their little space, you know, verbalizing this way than they are, you know, the way people, you know, grew up 30 years ago. And I think this is only going to grow more and more. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to be open to some, you know, the thing I always wonder about is when you have a lot of people with technology, whether it's, you know, Photoshopping or things that you can kind of wonder if it's a hoax or not, those kinds of things can get out there pretty easy. And a lot of people who are, you know, running mainstream or bigger blogs, I think, you know, sometimes it's easy to get snowed in. Sometimes it's easy to buy into something and maybe get a little more reckless. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll be honest, there's stuff that I would probably tend to run in my blog that I don't know if it would get as much attention in the edit process. Now, mine gets edited by a couple of different people, but
right,
I'm not sure if it would, you know, go up under the same case. Definitely if I did some magazine work, I mean, it's a lot stricter edit process. So the thing I'm getting at is a lot of chance, you know, there's some stuff that could get out there, and once it's out there, boy, you can't really get it back. And I think that you have to keep an eye on where things are coming from, and that's where I think you know, the danger in some of this is.
Bruce, as I surf around some of these different fan sites, and so many of them to me are different, I have the thought that, you know, not every fan site, not all fan message boards are created equal. Would you agree in the sense that some of them maybe view themselves more as journalistic operations, whereas others are a little bit more maverick and it's just an independent kind of free-form discussion or water cooler?
Yeah, I think it's basically a water cooler. Now, there may be some that are more set up as journalistically versions of that, but to be honest, I mean, I've seen, you know, journalism boards that are set up there that really are the same kind of thing as water coolers, and rumors fly around as fact, and people just vent and say things that I can't, you know, they say things like you'd said at the top that, you know, they're coming under these, you know, kind of tags where they're not their real name, so anybody can say anything. I mean, there's a few people who post on those under their real name, but that's rare, and you're not even sure if those are the actual people.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see that, you know, I don't see a whole lot of, like, you know, straight journalism rules flying with that. I just think it's kind of fly by the seat of your pants and just vent, and that's, you know, not necessarily that's a good thing or a bad thing. I think that's just the way it is.
Bruce Feldman's with us from ESPN.com. He has a daily blog on ESPN.com and writes college football pieces for ESPN the magazine. Okay, let's take a couple of offshoots, Bruce, of message boards here and the effect on college football culture and the effect on college football directly. The effect on recruiting. I mean, I know it's different with each 16 or 17-year-old kid, but how many of these kids go to program and fan message boards and deduce some of what they feel about programs based on what fans are slinging around on these message boards and these fan sites?
I'd say a lot, and a lot more than would admit to doing, and a lot more have family than they do, and it's hard. I mean, you're talking about, you know, if a grown-up sees something written about them, they react. You're talking about an 18 or 17-year-old who's not as, you know, who just has a different perspective on things. They're going to feel it. I know that, you know, when we had done a big recruiting story last year on Myron Roll, you know, we had picked Myron because we thought he had the best perspective about any kid we were going to find. He had, you know, came from a very stable home where his parents were involved in the recruiting process. He was the youngest of, like, six sons, all who were, you know, college educated. Mm-hmm. He had a journalism background himself. But at the same time, you know, he was, or somewhere along the process, he paid attention to the message boards at some point. And I know that there was stuff written about him that, you know, he would own up to saying it got under his skin. Now, that didn't mean he was going to pick one school over another because of some fan, because he was smart enough to know you don't even know if that's an actual fan of the school. It could be a fan of a rival school posing, or who knows. And it's just, it's kind of confusing, and in a way it can be a little strange. But kids pay attention. I mean, it just plays up to their vanity, and they get sucked in, and they get sucked in more and more.
Yeah.
And I think it takes a real strong kid to not get sucked into that.
So kids pay attention, and adults pay attention as well. If administrators and coaches as a whole tell us that they don't read and pay attention to message boards, Bruce, more times than not, are they fibbing to us?
They may not be fibbing to you, but I think they're fibbing to you if they say somebody who is not a reporting to them in some way up the food chain, they definitely pay attention to it. I mean, I know that almost every school that I know of has somebody monitoring the internet fan sites, whether it's to see what recruits said about them or their school or their competitors, or whether it's, you know, some kind of rumor thing that somebody in the, you know, some student assistant in the sports information department has to keep an eye on just in case some, you know, crap storm is headed their way.
Yeah.
I think they have their tentacles out there to make sure that they can see things coming at least as best they can. Now, does Joe Castiglione, the AD at Oklahoma, is he, you know, sitting online looking at OUinsider.com? I doubt it, but that doesn't mean that somebody who doesn't work for him probably is. And if something big enough for him to have to deal with, I'm sure it goes to the people who report to him.
Yeah. Bruce, in the final minute, I want to talk about a story you had on the blog a couple of weeks back about a Clemson site in the ACC, TigerIllustrated.com, and how blurred the line can get between somebody operating a message board and, if they're a booster, are they committing some sort of secondary violation by getting in touch with recruits? Sometimes these aren't vehicles for criticism. These are vehicles for boosters, and that can get a little shady, can it?
Yeah, it's a hard thing to do, and I got to admit that, you know, from watching the process, being on the road with Myron Roll last year from his recruiting process, you know, there were guys who ran sites. Now, they weren't necessarily the recruiting guys, because different sites are big enough where they may have their own separate recruiting guy. But some of them were guys who, you know, worked for the site, and they would start making small talk with them. And in the process, you'd hear things where you're basically, you really can't say that. And then there's stuff that you could say to, say, you know, Chris Olsen, your quarterback, that's different. I mean, he's already at the school. He's mm-hmm. not being recruited for anything. But once it comes to when the kid is in that recruited position, and I knew this going in when dealing with Myron, you know, when you're making small talk with people, you got to be conscious of what you're saying throughout, because you don't want to say the wrong thing about anybody, whether you're just being honest. I mean, I know that, you know, Myron's family had real sensitivity to some of the stuff Tom Lemming said when he was just, quote, you know, by his standards, you know, telling it like it is.
Yeah.
He ended up trashing Florida State. And I think that's something that is, you know, I have some respect for the people who do that business, because it is very hard to do any interviews with anybody where you really can't respond to anybody's questions, because if you do, you're pretty much, you're committing to something that's almost a sin in the business, and that's just, I guess that's just the world that those guys have to operate in.
Yeah, that's a tricky, delicate little balance. Bruce Feldman with us, as he's been in the past, on the Casellas Hotline on the Best Seat in the House from ESPN.com and ESPN the magazine. Bruce, thanks for your insights as always. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Sounds good. My pleasure.
Okay, take care. That's Bruce Feldman with us. Got a great blog every day. I want Bruce Feldman's life. I want his job. It's awesome. The blog is the best.
Got a great gig.
This Clemson story is really interesting. It's TigerIllustrated.com. And there was a guy who was helping to run that site who was a known and registered booster giving money to Clemson Athletics. And that site was making contact, of course, direct contact with potential recruits to interview them and have their information and their profiles on the site. Well, even if this guy's not directly selling these prospects on Clemson, maybe he's just reporting on the fact that these players are interested in Clemson, he's a registered booster. He gives money to Clemson University, and he's contacting underage prospective recruits? Nope. That's a secondary NCAA violation. Clemson can get in trouble for that guy's actions, even if they don't even know that he's making those phone calls. That's the blurred line you're talking about in terms of who's running these sites and what's permissible because of how independent they are. But how independent are they, really? So we'll come back and we'll talk some more recruiting. You heard it from Bruce Feldman, a national perspective about recruits and how much credence they lend to it. Well, a Virginia prospect is on the way. Linebacker from Culpeper High School, Terrence Fells-Danzer. Does he pay attention to him? And your phone call is coming up as well, 977-1070.